Translation from Purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Hari Braja Kachaja Abhay Charanarvind Bhakti Vidanda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. At that moment, there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who travelled over the earth disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as if others had neglected him. The word Bhagavan is sometimes used in relation with some of the great devotees of the Lord, like Shukadeva Goswami. Such liberated souls are disinterested in the affairs of this material world because they are self-satisfied by the great achievement of devotional service. As explained before, Sukadeva Goswami never accepted any formal spiritual master, nor did he undergo any formal reformatory performances. His father, Vyasadeva, was his natural spiritual master, because Shukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him. After this, he became completely self-satisfied. He was not dependent on any formal process. The formal processes are necessary for those who are expected to reach the stage of complete liberation. But Shukadeva Goswami was already in that status by the grace of his father. As a young boy, he was expected to be properly dressed, but he went around naked and was uninterested in social customs. He was neglected by the general populace, and inquisitive boys and women surrounded him as if he were a madman. He thus appears on the scene while traveling on the earth of his own accord. It appears that upon the inquiry of Maharaj Parikshit, the great sages were not unanimous in their decision as to what was to be done. For spiritual salvation, there were many prescriptions according to the different modes of different persons. But the ultimate aim of life is to attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service to the Lord. As doctors differ, so also sages differ in their different prescriptions. While such things were going on, the great and powerful son of Vyasadeva appeared on the scene. Om Agyant Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakya Takshu Vrindan Sanjita Tashmai Sri Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shri Vashari Gaur Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama Rama Hari Hari. So here, in this story, Maharaj Parikshit has sat down on the bank of the Ganges and is inquiring from the sages, now what is the perfection of a person who's about to leave his body especially? And at that moment, then appeared the son of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami. Who was wandering by his own will over the earth, but in touch with the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he kindly appeared there at this great scene of the departure of Maharaj Parikshit. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami, Prabhupada's pointing out in the purport, he never accepted any formal spiritual master, nor did he undergo any formal reformatory performances, because his father Vyasadeva was his natural spiritual master. Because he had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, and he had understood it. Properly, because he was already actually self-realized. He was Atmarama, he was in the womb for 16 years. What's the difference inside or outside? Actually better outside, inside, because outside a lot of disturbances. So he thought, I got this, might as well stay here. So he was in that position of self-realization, completely self-satisfied. Until he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. And then this became very interesting. Oh, there's something more. It's a bit more interesting. We can actually increase our transcendental realization, our self-satisfaction, by the process of devotional service to Krishna. So this is pointing out here, it's the glory of devotional service. And devotional service is glorious because it's connected to Krishna. So he suddenly is hearing about the connection to Krishna, devotional service to Krishna, and he's getting excited about it. Otherwise he's completely self-satisfied, but now he's feeling more excited. He's enthusiastic to hear. What is this? It's something new. Even more than what my self-satisfaction. There are statements that even those who come to that point of self-realization, they're free from all material affinity. They're actually situated in this position of self-satisfaction, self-realization. It does not look very good for them if they are not in relationship with their Lord. So even one comes to that highest perfection, Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhavanam Jamanam, after thousands and thousands of birth of being a jnani, searching, one, attains that perfection. This perfection means Atmarama, self-satisfied. Perfection, Krishna says, Siddhai, as a city. Greatest city you can achieve in the material world, because you actually transcend the material world. You're on the platform of Brahma-bhuta, transcendence. So that's the greatest city you can achieve materially. Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, these four progressive stages of human civilization, they end in Moksha. So it's such a glorious thing, but it's stated, it doesn't look very good. Even that position, the greatest position you can actually achieve, it doesn't look very good if you're not in relationship with Krishna in that position. So here Sukadeva Goswami, in enjoying the unlimited happiness of Brahmananda, but suddenly he's nothing to compare with it. Why bother to come out? But suddenly, oh, here is something much more that makes that ocean of Brahmananda, which was endless, eternal, Brahman is eternal, an endless ocean of happiness. What can be greater than here? Something more is exciting me. Now that ocean, just like a little drop of water, it's become like a little puddle. What is this new thing I'm tasting? So then he decides to come out. And he doesn't bother to wait around for his, to say hello to his mother and father even. He's just off. Doesn't want to get entangled. And his father, naturally, he wants to see his son at least, and give him the reformatory processes, as is required for everyone in the material world. Because material body means if you've got a material body, it's a symptom of sin. Thus, no matter what position, if you're in the topmost position of Shatugun, you're a symbol of sin because you've still got the material body. So the idea is to purify that existence and achieve the ultimate perfection. In the Krishna book, I think it's the description of autumn, right in the last paragraph, pages, Prabhupada mentions there's three kinds of transcendentalists: the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktis. He said, but they all have to wait until they leave their body till they attain perfection. The jnani, he has to wait until he leaves his body, then he can merge into Brahman. The yogi has to leave his body, then he can go to his any destination he wants. And the devotee also, he has to leave his body, then he can again be reunited with Krishna in service. So as long as you've got a body, it's a symptom of sin. Now Sukadeva Goswami, he's understood the essence of it. He's heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now he's enthusiastic. No need of any reformatory process because he's understood the purpose of the reformatory process, simply to engage one in devotional service. So he thought, why wait? Why go through all these different processes, reformatory processes? They're actually material processes. Process to free one from the contamination of the material world. But when you're free from contamination of the material world, then you can serve Krishna with pure senses. So he's already attained that stage. His senses have become purified and he just wants to engage in service to Krishna. He doesn't want to practice the processes for becoming purifying his senses because it's already purified, because that's the object of all the different processes of self-realization, to purify the senses. Because you can't get Krishna by any process of self-realization. Krishna's realizable only through the process of bhakti, or through a bhakta. So he just wants to engage in bhakti, in devotional service. He just wants to wander around here and chanting. There's no need. Just like the whole process. You're born in a Brahman family. And then you have to go through all the different samskaras, beginning from the Garbhadamsa, before birth even. So that purifies your birth existence. Then there's all the different ceremonies, up to Upanayam, or receiving a sacred thread, which indicates one is ready to go back to Godhead. So many different levels of samskara and purification that is required. Even when you reach a Brahmana birth, that's the rarest of all birth materially. So you get the best of all births. And even in that, from that beginning of that birth, you've got to go undergo purity processes. Because sometimes the argument is used that you get this body according to your previous activities. So if you've got a birth in a Brahmana family, then obviously, in your previous birth, you were performing brahminical activities. And that's predestined your next body. Otherwise you wouldn't get the body. You got a low-class body because in your previous birth you're performing low-class activities. So you get what you deserve. So in the smarter or the strict caste system, they are saying that you have to take your birth in the Brahman family to become purified, and anything less than that It's kind of outcast, especially the lower castes, Shudras. They were considered kind of untouchables, and even you can't study the Vedas, you're not qualified. In fact, you can't do anything. Except you can serve from a distance, the Brahmana caste, but don't come too near, in case your shadow touches them. And then after serving them, by their blessings, after some births, you will gradually rise up to a Brahmana. But this was the strict caste system that was even going prominent 100 years ago, even less. So the idea is that the Brahmana is the god on earth, and he's coming in very aristocratic lines, even great lines, you know, of great devotees, Nityananda Bhamsa, Advaita Bhamsa. These great lineages are coming down, very purified births. And so unless you take your birth in Brahmana family, then you cannot actually become to the stage of Brahmana. Even Prabhupada got criticized. You are spoiling everything. You are giving Brahman initiations and sannyas to the malechas. Prabhupada said, that's the thanks I get. He said, it's the duty of the Brahmanas to do this, to give this, preach this message of Bhagavatam to everyone. Krishna says, even if you're a Shudra, woman, low class, outcast, they're all entitled to hear the scriptures, the words of Krishna. You're all entitled to perform devotional service. It's not that anyone is neglected. And you can become purified in any condition of life. So many statements. But they are taking the very narrow-minded vision that only by taking birth you can achieve these things. So unless you take birth in the Brahman family, only then you can actually make advancement. The Vaishnava argument is now, this is not a fact. The very fact that you take birth in a Brahmana family, it means you're impure. Otherwise, why you've got to go through the performary processes? If it's a pure birth, then why are there so many processes of purification, beginning from Garbhadhanaka up to Upanayana? They're all for purification. So why you've taken a birth in that line, which you have to undergo all these different processes of purification, means you're impure. You have to become more pure. But a person who's taken to the process of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, it's understood he's already superseded all that ritual, and he's beyond the Brahmana. So this was Shukadeva Goswami. There's no need for him to go through this process his father wanted to give him, because he's already situated in devotional service. He was beyond all that. To go back now would be simply a waste of time, waste of energy. Huh? What's that one verse? If one performs all the ritualistic ceremonies, performs everything nicely, comes to the highest stage, Shatugun. But if he doesn't become Krishna conscious, then it's all a useless waste of time. What use was he studying all the Vedas and following him? He didn't come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And if a person immediately comes to the point of devotional service, then what is the use of studying all the Vedas? Already he's understood the goal of the Vedas. So this is Sukadeva Goswami. He's understood everything. Now, so now it's a waste of time, him hanging around the family and going through all these processes. It's deviation. Sadhana bhakti and rag bhakti. Now he has attraction, spontaneous attraction, because he's already self-realized. But now he's got attraction with awakened senses. He's attracted to devotional service. So it's not necessary from to go through these different processes. But for ordinary conditioned souls, then it's expected. Prabhupada said it's expected that ordinary persons will have to go through this process of purification. Yeah, so Shukadeva Goswami, he wasn't dependent on any of these, any formal process. So he was the self-satisfied Atmarama. Is it the same verse is here also in the same verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Atmaramas chamunayo verse. Nigrantarapi ukrame korvanti hautukam bhaktim itambhuta guno hari. Very famous verse. Atmaramas chamunayo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke on this verse to Sanatana Goswami, to Sabhabhuma Bhattacharya, very elaborately. Translations, all different kinds of Atmaramas. It means those who take pleasure in the self, the Atma or spirit, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, they desire to render unalloyed devotional service under the personality of Godhead. Which means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities, and therefore He can attract everyone, including all the liberated souls. So, Sukadeva Goswami, he's attracted. He's hearing the pastimes and he's become attracted. He's Atmarama, but he's hearing, he's become attracted to the pastimes. And the Kumaras, four Kumaras, they're also Atmaramas. They just, out of curiosity, they just go over to the local Vaikuntha planet to see Narayan over there. Otherwise he's out there in bliss and we're in bliss, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway, somehow or another they decide to go over there. But when they what's that nice fragrance? Senses became really enlivened. What's that? We thought, you know, we had subdued our senses, we weren't interested in senses. We were completely, but suddenly our senses become enlivened and it's better than our self-satisfaction. What is it? Yeah, Krishna's lotus feet, those tulsi leaves and chandan and flowers. They became attracted. Rukmini, goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, Yogamaya Devi, oh, her potency. She becomes attracted simply by hearing about Krishna. Then everybody becomes awakened in their transcendental senses to serve Krishna. In other words, anyone who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam or anyone who hears about Krishna, which Srimad Bhagavatam means hearing about Krishna. So anyone who hears about Krishna, even though they're already self-realized, they become enlivened. So actually the Srimad Bhagavatam is made for the self-realized persons. Because we see these self-realized persons and are very much attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually it's made for self-realized persons. But it's so made that anyone who hears it, even if you're not self-realized, but you hear it, immediately you've engaged in the path of of devotional service and self-realization. Because simply by hearing, it's one of the processes of devotional service. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is only dealing with devotional service to Krishna and his devotees. Where the other literatures, then they're not much. There's not much hint of that. Well, there's only hint. And lots of everything else. Relationship in the material world, like Mahabharata. It's all relationship. You can see any type of relationship you want in the Mahabharata. It's so varied. So much variety there. But there's only a little hint of relationship with Krishna there. But Srimad Bhagavatam is only in relationship with Krishna. So if a person hears Srimad Bhagavatam, he's actually engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Then he's begun his devotional service. He's situated in devotional service. He's situated on the path of self-realization, even if he's not interested in it. This is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's for the self-realized persons. But even anyone who's not self-realized, it's not though he has to study all the other scriptures first to come to the Paramahamsa Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost to get. No, even if he's on the lowest position, if he simply hears Srimad Bhagavatam, it means he's engaged in devotional service because he's hearing about Krishna. And immediately he's well situated on the path of self-realization. And it acts so quickly. So powerful is the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Prabhupada mentions, this is doctors differ in their different prescriptions, so also the sages were kind of differing. They didn't really weren't all in the same, didn't have all the same conclusion. So now Shukadeva Goswami is appearing there, not only for the sake of delivering Maharaj Parikshit and establishing Srimad Bhagavatam, but also for correcting all of those other great sages, so many self-realized souls there. But now they're going to get a chance to be connected to Krishna in devotional service. So the sages asked Shonaka Rishi was asking Shuddha Goswami that why Sukadeva Goswami, he self-realized already and he was self-satisfied, so why did he take the trouble to actually undergo and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam? Troublesome. Why go through that trouble if he's already self-satisfied? But the idea is that he was actually attracted to it. He was forcibly attracted to hearing. So it wasn't a trouble for him to undergo. He wanted to hear and he heard the whole thing very attentively. So again, this is an instance of a self-realized person. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually for the self-realized persons. It awakened them to their true senses. So when one is awakened by his true sense, then he becomes attracted to the Krishna. Prabhupada says here that Krishna he attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts the elderly gopis in parental relationship. He attracts males in the form of service or friendship. He attracts the young girls who are attracted by just the beautiful limbs of Krishna's body. So he's attracting everyone. he's attracting the natural senses of everyone, beyond the simply the satisfaction of the self. Prabhupada makes the point that the word Hari means, he's speaking on the Atmarama verse, Bhutana Bhuta Guna Hari. He said it means that he is the one who vanquishes everything inauspicious. Hari means he's taken away. He takes away everything auspicious, and he also takes away the mind of the devotees. And he takes that mind, the mind away by awarding them transcendental love for himself. It's in the t-shirt. I lost my heart in Vrindavan. Krishna takes it away. He steals your mind away. But he does it by giving you transcendental love. And then you're no longer interested in your mind anymore because it's just Krishna now. I only live in Vrindavan. Who cares? Who wants the mind anymore? Just want to be so attracted to Krishna. So he takes away the mind by giving you transcendental love. And then one is... then he can serve Krishna. He only, with all of his senses, just wants to serve Krishna. And Krishna just gradually he starts removing all the any obstacle in the way of the devotees, all types of miseries and distresses. And he said, as a result of this. By Krishna's removing all these obstacles, as a result of this, then the nine processes of devotional service becomes manifested. The hearing enchantment becomes manifested. So, the idea is that these nine processes of devotional service, which reveal Krishna, Bhakti Mama Bhijan, I'm revealed through Bhakti, devotional service. So these nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, are eternal. And they have their own personalities. Because everything has personality in the spiritual world. So to serve Krishna, that has personality. You want to serve Krishna with your eyes, with your nose, with your tongue, with your... This is all personified there. Devotional service is personified. And they are there, and they, in their forms, they act as a medium to serve Krishna. And so what Krishna is doing, he's awakening the devotee to the presence of these nine devotional service, these personalities of devotional service. So what Krishna is doing, he's actually awakening you to their presence. So then you're in your presence, then you can hear, you can see, you can... Everything for Krishna. The same thing is stated in Chaitanya-caritamrita. Yeah, this day is very nice, Atmarama. Very nice, self-satisfied. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaitodara Panamajanam. This is Atmarama. Because the mind, all the dirty things have stopped. Brahma, Buddha, Prashanatma. All the dirty things have stopped. Gone from the mind. That means mind is peaceful. Krishna said, when the one who has controlled the mind is not disturbed, immediately super soul is reached. So they're situated in the transcendental position. So, then Chaitanya says, okay, that's a great position. Why? Because now the hearing really begins. Because you've been awakened to the presence of the devotional service, which is absolute. So now the hearing begins because you're in tune to the presence of devotional service. So hearing about Krishna, really hearing, it's going to the soul. It's not just going into the mind, or it goes directly to the self. Now the hearing really begins, he says, Krishna does get right. Now the chanting really begins from this point. We're serving Krishna anyway, even in the process of sadhana bhakti, but it's not actually awakened. You've got to awaken to the actual identities of these devotions, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. Then he said, yes, then it really begins. It becomes really exciting because the chanting, hearing, everything takes on a reality. In other words, if Krishna takes away the mind, you don't need that mind anymore. Actually, we don't need the mind. Krishna says earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence. These are my material elements. How can we understand Krishna with the material element? So you don't need it. The process of devotional service comes directly from the soul. Now it appears in the process of sadhana bhakti, because we're not, maybe not all self-realized, the functions of thinking, feeling and willing, it appears that everything is going through these functions. Thinking, feeling and willing. Through the mind. But in a state of purified existence, then you don't use that system anymore. It comes directly from the soul to Krishna. It's kind of reverse. See, in the stage of sadhana, we're using our senses to purify our senses. So we're using senses and mind to approach Krishna. And by serving Krishna, then the mind becomes purified. Everything, all the senses become purified because we're engaging them in the service of Krishna. So we're using our senses in Krishna's service. They're becoming purified. But in a stage where one has already purified and has attraction for Krishna, then there's no need for that process. So he doesn't need the mind. The mind dissolves or disappears. This is a material element. But because we are conditioned, we're stuck with it, then we're using it to serve Krishna. And the process of serving Krishna is, the mind becomes purified, the senses become purified. So when they're actually purified, then you don't need all that. It's the opposite way. We are serving Krishna through our senses to Krishna, becoming purified and getting, Krishna is receiving that, so there's some reciprocation. But the other way around, it's directly serving Krishna. It comes directly from the soul to Krishna. So there's no need for the mind and senses anymore, material mind and senses. So this is the platform of Sukadeva Goswami. He's on that purified platform. So he doesn't need to bother about it. That's why the Kumaras, they don't want to use the senses, the mind. They come entangled with their material elements. So they just negated them. They're situated in the self. Okay, forget about them. But transcendence means, no, you're awakened to transcendental senses. So then you engage in transcendental senses, which the munis, they don't realize they've got. You got to withdraw your senses like tortoise, everything, shut them up. Because they have no information of the process of devotional service. But when they're actually awakened to it, then yes, they become, transcendental senses become manifest. And service becomes directly from the soul, who has senses. So it's a spiritual transmission to Krishna. Because Krishna only operates because he is the Supreme Spirit. You can only relate to him on spirit. So this is what the function that is taking place here. So he has no necessary to undergo all of these symptoms or these necessary performances of purificatory process, etc. like that. Just like Bamsi Das Babaji Maharaj, Abadut. And he was asked one time by one, I think it was from the Sri Sampradaya, and he was asking him, what line you belong to? What's your Sampradaya? Well, he was now asking questions about the four Sampradayas and the four Acharyas. And Bamsi said, I'm not in line with any of these four. Because the Padma Purana says you have to be. These are the only four bona fide sampradayas. You have to have connection with it, otherwise you can't reach the goal, the spiritual goal. He said, I'm not in line with any of these. And then that scholar was saying that, hey, there may be some fault, he said, but still they're here. People are following them. They're practicing. Yeah. And then Bamsi Das Babaji Maharaj said that, no, I'm serving all the four sampradayas. But I'm serving all the four sampradayas. So in other words, this is actually the Vaishnava. He said, I'm not in line with any of the sampradayas. He doesn't follow any of the rules and regulations that's required for their processes. But simultaneously, I'm serving. In other words, he's a servant. He's putting himself as a servant of all the other sampradayas. And this is the greatness of devotion, of devotees, the humility of devotees. Srila Prabhupada was once giving a lecture, and he was speaking also on first class man is Vaishnava, first class person is Vaishnava. And one of the people in the audience said, so what are you what class do you belong to? Because Prabhupada was talking about first class, third, second, third, fourth class men according to the different statuses. And so someone said, what class are you? And in all humility, Prabhupada said, I am fifth class. And the person said, no, Swamiji. He said, you are first class man. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, I am a servant of all the four class. Therefore, I am fifth class, because I am a servant of all the others. So in this way, Bamsidas Babaji Maharaj was saying, I don't follow any of these lines, but I'm serving them all. Because he knew Gauranga. He knew Nityananda. He was the person who talked to them. So he can purify even these great lineages. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He took initiation from Bipin Bihari Goswami, who was coming from the Nityananda line, the family of Nityananda Prabhu. And later we have a picture of Jagannath Das Babaji. He accepted the shiksha of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj over the diksha. His diksha guru was Bipin Bihari Goswami. But to show that this is a shiksha line, then he accepted Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And now we put the pictures of Jagannath Das. We always talk of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And because actually at that time there was still a lot, they were influenced, Nityananda Bamsas were influenced by the caste system, and actually they were claiming that they were the only persons who were allowed to preach, because Nityananda Prabhu was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Bengal and preach. So we're coming in that line. So actually we're the ones who we should do it. Like I was saying before, they were criticizing Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, it's your business to do it. You don't do it. That's right. He said, you don't do it. You're not preach. I come and preach, and then you criticize me for preaching to the millennials. It's your duty. You're caste Goswamis. You're born in that family. You have the privilege. You have you have all the facility to become perfect and preach. He said, you don't do it. I do it, and then you criticize me. But it's your duty. So anyway, there was a couple of things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't actually agree with. They weren't perfect in line in the shiksha line. Coming from Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. So anyway, somehow it happens like that I guess to set examples and things like that. But anyway, a lot of people say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually appeared. He took initiation in that sampradaya simply to purify the sampradaya. It's Nityananda's lineage. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great Vaishnava. He accepted that sampradaya to purify it, because there was some deviations were going on. So this is the potency of a great Vaishnava. Bhamsidas Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They actually purified this other sampradayas. And I just read something very interesting the other day. It made me very happy. Because there's that prediction. I guess Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it may be Narihari Thakur. He says that in the future, all of these sampradayas will come under the banner of Sankirtan. There will only be one one caste. He said they won't. Later on in Kali Yuga, these caste system will be. He said it won't be considered. He said there'll only be one caste. What is that caste? Hari Bhakta. Everyone is a Bhakta of Hari. And they'll all come under the flag of Sankirtan. So I was always thinking about that. How does that work? Sankirtan means a congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So that they go to the Christian societies and you chant the name of Yahweh, whatever your name of God is, you got to do that in Sankirtan. They go to the Muslim communities, you chant the name of Allah, you say in Sankirtan, on whatever your God. I thought in this way it seems like an easy way to convert the whole world, because already there, it's their God, we don't want to make them too annihilated from the different gods. So okay, at least do Sankirtan to Allah, at least do Sankirtan to Yahweh or God, whatever his name is. And then you'll be doing the Yuga Dharma and the Sankirtan. I was wondering, is it actually like that? For a long time I had that question. Or is it that they're chanting Hare Krishna? And I just read something the other day and it struck me. And it said, and now Gauranga's going to come. He's giving the Maha Mantra. And he said he's going to convert all these other sampradayas, all the religions, and he's going to convert them and flood them with Raja Prem. So the only way you get Raja Prem is by chanting Hare Krishna. So that looks like that is actually, everybody chants Hare Krishna. They chant the Maha Mantra, all the different religions. They'll all come under that banner of Hare Krishna. And this way he'll save the whole world. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Nitai Gopremanandi. Thank you very much. Thank you. Any questions? Oh, Hare Krishna. Yes. Okay, the question is, what is the best way to please Krishna? Because we hear we can worship Krishna with our intelligence through hearing. We start from hearing and we can worship Krishna like this. So what is actually the best way to worship Krishna? To please him? Through the process of hearing. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us specifically Raja Prem. That's his mission. Specifically in the mood of conjugal relationship and friendship and parental relationship. Specifically these three, because this very much pleases Krishna. So, it's... Krishna's only actually attracted by the spontaneous attitude of the devotee. So, In other words, as long as you've got material body and material mind, you've got to use it. So you're using your intelligence, your hearing. This is the beginning. We're using our hearing and we're serving Krishna. And Krishna's also accepting that service through the Vaya Media of Parampara. But we may not be kind of aware of how easy, we may not be awake to how Krishna's receiving it from our angle of vision. But the idea is that when one is on a more spontaneous platform, he has a natural attraction for Krishna, then he's just, it's the outpouring of one's heart, one's love for Krishna, that is what's pleasing to Krishna. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And in that state, then one doesn't even think about, is it going through the mind and intelligence and senses? He doesn't even bother to think about that. That's a deviation from Krishna. Everything is focused on him, so he doesn't worry about the technicality or anything like that. So I think Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says it for the devotee, he doesn't even worry about it, although he doesn't use that same mind and intelligence anymore. Because it's material. Krishna says they're my material elements. Earth, water, fire, mind, intelligence, they're all material. So you can't use any material thing to serve Krishna in pure state. So he said it doesn't actually go through the usual function, but it appears to. And the devotee doesn't even bother to, because he just bothers about loving Krishna. He doesn't worry about the detail, how it's working. But he said it appears as if it's going through the same function. The way, it doesn't change his way of acting or thinking or hearing or talking. It's going on, but it's just, now it's done with emotion. It's done with love for Krishna. So he doesn't even bother to take his mind off his service to Krishna to think. Because once you start thinking, if you want to analyze, is it going through mind, I'm using material mind, then it becomes Shankha Yoga. That hurts his head, because he doesn't want to leave bhakti for 1 second. So he's just absorbed in pure devotion. And it hurts him to leave even for 1 moment. So he's not going to go to Shankya and try to understand how everything is functioning. He can't bear to leave Krishna for a second. So he doesn't even bother about it. But Vishwanath said, it appears it's going through the same symptom. But it's not. It's actually direct from the soul to Krishna. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yeah.